Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship.
Thank you.
Good morning, New Life family. We want to welcome you here to today's service. And I want to thank the worship team for the excellent job they've just done. Thank you for preparing our hearts for today's service. My name is Dave.
And I'm Eve.
And we're the Poles. We've been coming to New Life for about 14 years now, and we're very happy to be with you here this morning.
We have a few announcements for you. We're going to start with the COVID-19 update. This week, the public health officer, Dr. Bonnie Henry, has extended the gathering restrictions for one more month. So that means we can't meet in person, but we'll continue meeting virtually until at least February 7th, which is a Sunday. And I know for us, we really miss seeing all of you, and I'm sure you're feeling likewise, missing everybody here at church. And sometimes these restrictions can be disheartening, but Jesus tells us not to lose heart because he's overcome the world. And so in the same way, we know this is going to end. And one day, soon, and hopefully not too distant future, we'll be able to be here again in this sanctuary together. Another update that we have, or announcement, is that the Archway Food Bank has an opportunity for service that you might be interested in. Not only does the food bank require ongoing food donations and money donations, but they actually require, during this pandemic season, drivers to help deliver the food and groceries to their clients in the community. So if this is something you'd be interested in, our New Life deacons are putting together a team that will be working together on a rotational basis, on a monthly basis. And if you'd like to be a part of that, I know the food bank and the deacons would love to have you join. So please contact Mark Heidelberg.
For the offering this morning, it's for the Benevolent Fund. And this is a fund that's administered by the deacons of the church to help those families in need and also to help families with Christian school tuition. As you can see on the bottom of the screen, there are a number of ways that you can give. And if you want to learn more about that, you can check out the link below in the video description. Please join me in prayer. Thank you, Father, for being steadfast and true and unchanging. Thank you for keeping your loving arms around our church family today and every day. For now, please open our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear your words from Pastor Nathan. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, kids, now it's time for you to get together with Pastor Sam, and you can watch a video, and there's activity sheets that she has prepared, and all these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. And every month, as many of you know, the New Life Kids have a different series. And this month, it's called the Pixel Party. And each week, they're hearing stories about from the Gospels about life-changing encounters with Jesus and just the incredible love that he has for each one of us. So parents, if you want you and your kids to get more out of these meetings at this time, this special time that Pastor Sam has created for you, there are reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper. So now would be a good time to pause the video, and kids, you can go ahead and switch over to Pastor Sam, and we'll be joined by Pastor Nathan. So hope you all have a great rest of this service. Thank you.
Good morning. I hope that you are doing well. Thanks again for joining us here through virtual worship. So glad to be with you. Let's begin with our daily prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that this day we may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray that this day we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray that this day you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in us, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. How do you present yourself in the world? That's the question that we need to deal with this morning as we talk about the third aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, the virtue of peace. A lot could be said about peace. In a world filled with unrest, we could talk a long time about peace out there. But perhaps the best place to start would be to talk about our peace, the peace that we hold within us as we present ourselves into the world. Here's the word of the Lord from Ephesians chapter 2, which talks about the new life that we have through the grace of God. That well-known verse from Ephesians chapter 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then Paul writes, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by those who called themselves," quote-unquote, "the circumcision," which is done by is done in the body by human hands. "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel." Paul's talking about Old Testament times now. "Excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And then this, "For he himself," talking about Jesus, "he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and with its regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." That's from Ephesians chapter 2. And we can learn a lot about what it means for peace to begin with us from this passage. And first of all, we can live at peace, as if living in peace is about a location. It's where we live. At peace. More specifically, or in other words, to live with peace is about living well with others. It's about getting along with other people. It's about building each other up. It's about community. And in that sense, it's not a state of mind. It's not some kind of quiet quality of your mind by which you can present yourself to the world. No, it's a place where you live. And yet we often think of it in terms of a state of mind. A professor once addressed his students and asked them all to take a moment and imagine what peace looks like in their mind. What does it look like? And then he gave them a few minutes to think, and then he allowed them to share with one another what the pictures were in their mind of peace. And so one described a field with flowers and beautiful trees. Another spoke of snow-capped mountains and an incredible alpine landscape. And another described the scene of a beautiful, still lake. But one thing was common in all of these pictures. There were no people in them. And so the professor concluded, wrote, "When asked to imagine peace, the first thing we do is eliminate everyone else." Isn't that a curious thing? When peace is only a quiet state of mind, it's merely the absence of pain or trouble or people, which makes it hard to distinguish between living an aimless life or, in fact, living at peace. It might be the difference between real living and simply dullness or laziness. If peace is about how we present ourselves to the world, it's hard to do so simply with a calm state of mind in a world of upset such as we live in. Having been trained well in Hebrew thought, Paul, on the other hand, approaches peace not merely as a quiet state of mind, but rather in the pattern of Jewish thought, which is summarized in that familiar Hebrew word, shalom, which is the word for peace, but means much more than simply what you're thinking or what your state of mind is. Peace is ultimately about the perfection of relationships. It's about wholeness, not about emptying your mind. It's about harmony, not about whether you're feeling fulfilled or satisfied or content. In other words, peace is about human flourishing. It's about our well-being together, not just about your individual self being free from pain or stress. In other words, peace is the high calling of every Christian. And Paul emphasizes this over and over again. A couple of chapters later in the letter to the Ephesians, he writes, chapter 4, verse 3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Or again in 2 Corinthians 13, at the end of the letter, he sums everything up. "Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace." Or in Romans 14, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." You see, it has to do with the relationships with one another. As Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount back in Matthew chapter 5, among those who will benefit from the kingdom of God, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Peace, in terms of how you present yourself into the world, how you present yourself in relationship to one another, is the high calling of every Christian, to live at peace. But there's another way to look at peace that Paul reveals here in Ephesians chapter 2, and that is to live for peace, not just living at peace, but also to live for peace. Because peace can be otherwise a tall order, perhaps at times seemingly impossible. But another way to look at peace is that it is something given to us by God. Peace is a gift. It's not just something that we generate by our own good behavior. There are rules, I suppose, that we could maintain for the sake of keeping peace. Rules by which we can get along with each other, regulations, but rules themselves don't keep peace. Rules don't establish good relationships. In fact, more often than not, rules actually alienate people. They tend to divide. And so that's what Paul is addressing in this particular context to the Ephesian Christians. There were some Christians who were of Jewish background and who knew all of the rules and knew all of the proper behaviors of what it meant to be a good follower of God. And then there were Gentiles, people who had come into the faith from outside, who were used to, well, pagan ideas or pagan practices and so on. They didn't know all of the rules of Jewish heritage. And so Paul was dealing with one of the biggest divisions in the church of his day between Jews and Gentiles. And that division was guarded and protected and usually enhanced by rules. By rules of expectation, rules of good behavior, rules that some knew well and others didn't. And it gave the sense for some of a sense of superiority or of being better than others. And that obviously created all kinds of difficulty and tension in the church community. And the unity of Christ's body was being threatened because of this age-old tension. And so Paul's solution, the way he addresses the church in the midst of this unpeace, this tension, the way Paul addresses the church then is not to set more regulations into place, but rather a reminder that they are to live for peace, because peace is a gift that is established through the blood of Christ. And so he writes in verse 14, "He," that is Christ, "himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." He himself is our peace. That revolutionizes our relationships. That Jesus is our peace points to the nature of peace, not as something that we can generate from within ourselves, but peace as a gift. It comes upon those who receive Jesus, who already has accomplished peace for us. Another way to look at it is to see it as in the same way that we ought to view truth. Oftentimes we look at truth as merely a statement, a true fact. But truth, according to the New Testament, to Scripture, truth is a person. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus says. And so also here, Paul says, Jesus is our peace. Peace is a person, not a set of rules, not a certain way of life, not a state of mind, but a person. And in so much as we live for Jesus, we live for peace. In another way, Paul addresses that issue of living for peace by suggesting that we live with the mind of Christ. To live for peace is to live for Jesus, to have in us that mind of Christ. And so in Philippians chapter 2, we're instructed, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, that's peace. That's that shalom. If you have any tenderness and compassion, that is, for one another, then make my joy complete, Paul writes, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, Paul writes, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That is what it means to live for peace, to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And so among believers, and in the church, then, that is the place where people ought to be able to see peace the best and to be able to be drawn towards it. The place where hostility is broken down and reconciliation between people takes place through Jesus, living for Him. And so, when we have a hard time putting up with people, right? And sometimes we joke, oh, you know what, church would be a good place except for the people, all that kind of thing. And when we have those kinds of sentiments, we ought to check ourselves, not in terms of some state of mind or not merely even just to make sure we have better regulations and rules to get along, but we ought to check ourselves in terms of, am I living for myself in vain conceit or out of selfish ambition, or am I living for Jesus? Because when we're living for Jesus, then the fruit of the Spirit is displayed in peace. For we live in Jesus. He is our peace. So to live at peace is, as it were, to live at a location of peace, outside of ourself, in fact. It has everything to do with shalom, well-being, helping others flourish. But peace also means to live for peace, that is, because Jesus is our peace, we can live among each other peacefully. But here's a third way to look at peace, briefly. Living in peace. But this is actually the foundation for our complete understanding of what peace entails. Because living for peace, while it is about the perfection of relationships and our relationships are made perfect only by being made right with God. Therefore, this is actually the foundation. And so Paul writes, his purpose, that is, Christ's purpose, was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, Jew and Gentile, or whatever divisions we live in, and to create one new humanity, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both to God through the cross. To be reconciled with God, to be made right with God. That's where peace has its roots. We can do all we can and set all of the rules and regulations in place to be able to help one another flourish, but it can only be accomplished ultimately when we are made right with God. And that is accomplished through the cross of Christ. So in Romans 8, Paul says, the mind of sinful man is death. It can only go downward. But the mind controlled by the Spirit, which is what we've been praying for on a daily basis, for the Holy Spirit to make His fruit grow in us, to ripen in us. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, Paul says. In other words, when we understand shalom, well-being, flourishing with one another, when we understand that in the foundation of being made right with God, then we can be confident about peace. Then we can stake our life on peace because it's not dependent on how we feel or how we judge things to be, but it's dependent on something outside of us. It's dependent on the gift of God, the sheer gift of God's grace to establish His peace by making Himself right with us, or we with Him. Trusting entirely in Jesus, we are confident of our righteousness and of our peace. And so we dare to reveal ourselves to one another, to be able to be vulnerable with one another, to be able to show each other, one another, our weaknesses and our mistakes, and to allow ourselves to be accountable to each other and allow ourselves to be drawn into community, as risky as it might even be. Because we're confident in peace, ultimately, because we have been made right with God. Doubtless we'll try all manner and means of satisfying our soul, but finally the ultimate answer to life is to be reconciled with God. That's the heart of the matter. And so we find peace not when we've eliminated all trouble and hardship in our lives. Relationships are still going to be tangled and difficult. But when we're able to stand in the wonder that through Jesus we have access to the Father, every one of us on equal footing, by one Spirit, then we can more confidently live in peace. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you for making it possible for us to be made right with you. God, we scramble and we clamor and we grab for all kinds of things that we think will help us to live well. And yet so often we forget what it means to be made right with you. And so help us to live, God, in that assurance that through Jesus we've been made right with you. And help us, God, to live so trustingly in Jesus, our Savior, that he can be our peace. And then, Father, we pray that you will bless our relationships, and that in the midst of those relationships, we can draw on the foundation of being made right with God, and that we can draw on the person of Jesus to bring well-being into those relationships. And Father, when they are broken, we pray for healing. As difficult as it might be, O God. And we pray that when we're in relationships that we take for granted, that you will startle us, awaken us to the blessing of being able to flourish with one another. In fact, God, even in the midst of this pandemic, when we're so separated and it's so difficult to make connection with others, God, remind us again of the gift that you have given us to be in relationship with one another and to live at peace. And so draw us again and again back to you, Father, in the midst of all of life's difficulties. Draw us close to you. May we live at peace. May we live for Jesus. May we live in the peace that you have established, Almighty God, gracious Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So go into this week, live in the confidence that you are made right with God. Live for Jesus, for he is your peace. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows
Convicting declaration for us to make, especially in the times that we're in right now. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That kind of peace only comes from knowing and trusting in our Savior Jesus Christ. Let those words resonate in your heart today and this week as you carry out God's peace. In Nathan's sermon discussion guide that you can find on our website, he gives us two questions to process and reflect on. Those two questions are, how do you display peace in your life right now? And how do you want to display peace in your life moving forward? At the end of that discussion guide, he also attaches a prayer from St. Francis of Assisi. I want to encourage you to let that prayer help guide your reflection time. Thank you so much for joining us at New Life, getting into the Word together, worshiping together, and growing closer and closer in our relationship with the Father. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday, and we'll see you soon.